Morning, everybody. I'm reading from John 10, verses 11 through 18. Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Jesus Christ has risen indeed. He has completed his sacrifice on the cross. He has ascended to the dead. He has preached the good news to those in the realm of the dead, and he's ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen.
Amen.
I want to ask you to bear with me a little bit with this sermon, because I don't know if I had another week, if this sermon might come together a little bit better, but I felt like there's some things here that need to come together. I might even be contradicting myself a little bit, and I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit's going to work with it and bring it together in our while I preach with you, and then during our time of open worship. So this is what I've gotten, but I think there's more to get. I think there's more to be given. So Jesus is the good shepherd. We are the sheep. Sheep are herd animals, so much so that in English, we don't even use different words for singular and plural. One sheep, two sheep, a flock of sheep. When we think of sheep, we're usually thinking about a group of them, not a single individual. Just like there's no such thing really as a lone sheep. There's no such thing as a lone individual Christian. Jesus doesn't call us as individuals. He calls us to community. We're gathered into one flock under one shepherd. That's why we're gathered here this morning. This is a flock meeting. Our shepherd Jesus has called us together. We're learning that we can trust him because he lays down his life for us. He guides us in the way we need to go. He protects us from wolves. Sometimes we don't take the wolves seriously enough. The wolves are real. The wolves do tear and devour and scatter. Selfishness, addiction, confusion, pride, racism, greed. The wolves are the spiritual powers of depression, anxiety, self-harm, and despair. We don't live in a neutral world without moral consequence. Whether we recognize it or not, we are in a spiritual warfare between the forces of light and darkness, good and evil, sheep and wolves. In the words of the Apostle Peter in chapter 5 of his first epistle, he says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. In Jesus, we stand triumphant over the power of sin and death and the devil. And the key word in that sentence, the key words are in Jesus. Because as sheep, we're not capable of fighting the wolves ourselves. We survive their predation by hanging together as a flock. We escape the wolves by trusting our good shepherd to protect us. Sheep need shepherds. We need those who care and protect the flock. We need those who help us determine which way the flock should move and to warn us when wolves are threatening the community. And with the gift of the Holy Spirit, God has raised up good shepherds among us, men and women of spiritual depth and power, who, thanks to God's grace, have been made trustworthy to care for the flock as sub-shepherds to Jesus. These individuals should be honored and heeded and encouraged. But a lot of discernment's in order. Because not just any shepherd will do. There are so many hired hands, false shepherds, who would gather us for the fleece. They would lead us out of self-interest and vanity rather than love. And when the wolves come, they'll abandon us. The church has a long history of discerning between false shepherds and true ones, and often failing. From the first generation of Christians, the apostles and the fathers of the early church warned against those who would turn human tradition into a new law, telling us, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. There have always been those who would sell us easy, mechanistic, spiritual laws that give us a sense of control rather than giving us the challenging freedom that we have in Christ. There were those who would tell us that God is so holy that Jesus could never come in the flesh. Others would tell us that Jesus is merely a human teacher and not divine. All the ancient heresies of the early church period were the work of false shepherds. All the paths that they offered tickled the mind and puffed up the ego, but they led to spiritual death. The early Quakers faced off against false shepherds of their own. In their day, it was the state church's priests and bishops who inherited their office as a title and made a living off of the mandatory tithes that all were required to pay them under penalty of law. These were men who turned the gospel into a business. They used the mantle of Christ as a way to extract wealth from the flock of God, shearing the sheep with abandon, but having no interest in protecting them. False shepherds aren't just a thing of ancient church history. They're a present-day reality that we must be on guard against. The false shepherds are on the loose in the form of prosperity gospel preachers and secular hustlers, people who want to sell us on the idea that if we just put the right energy out into the world, we'll get back whatever we desire. People who say that if you're poor or you're sick or you're just unlucky, it's because you haven't got the right attitude or because you haven't got enough faith. The false shepherds are the political pundits and the leaders who so fear to boost their ratings and cement their power. They're the social media influencers who use our outrage and horror to fuel engagement. The false shepherds step forward as leaders, only to lead us on paths of destruction. They hand us over to the wolves. wolves like militant nationalism, stock market speculation, gambling, addictive video games and social media, pornography and hard drugs. These false shepherds entice us into patterns of compulsive behavior that cheapen and destroy our lives. But there's good news. There is a shepherd who is not false. We recognize his voice because he lays down his life for the sheep. He won't let any of us be lost. He's here to protect us. We can rely on him. Jesus is the good shepherd, not just to us, but to the whole world. Jesus says that he has sheep who are not of this fold. And in the context of John, Jesus is probably referring to the Gentiles, flocks beyond the people of Israel, who are traditionally thought to be beyond the reach of God's love. Who are the outcast sheep today? Jesus is coming for them too. There will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus reconciles us to God. He gathers us together as a planetary community. No one is to be excluded. Every single one of us is invited to hear the voice of Jesus and become part of the one flock of God. I'm tempted to say that Jesus calls us to be good shepherds too, to imitate Jesus and lay down our lives for the flock, to go forth and preach the gospel and bring those other sheep into the one flock, to gather all the peoples of the earth into the family of God and Jesus. I'm especially tempted to say this because it's true. We are called to do all these things as friends of Jesus. That's the great commandment, love God and love neighbor. It's the great commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature under heaven. This is what it looks like in practice. We are called to imitate Jesus. But I don't think that's what Jesus is saying here in this passage. Jesus is not saying, I'm the good shepherd, come and be shepherds like me. Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd, you are my sheep. We are his sheep. He gathers us into one flock. We hear his voice. He guides us to springs of living water. He feeds us on the bread of life. He restores our souls. He makes us one body in him. We are the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. Our job is not to replace Jesus as the shepherd. Our job is to be obedient, faithful sheep, loving one another, caring for one another, listening to the voice of the shepherd as he leads us. And this sheepiness is the protection that we have from the false shepherds, from the hired hands who don't really care about the flock, but seek leadership for their own reasons. This is our protection from the wolves. Reliance on Jesus, our one shepherd leading our one flock. Human beings are wired to think that we need more than that. The Jews wanted a king. The early church wanted archbishops and popes and ecumenical councils under the authority of emperors. The story of the people of God is one of continuous self-seduction with our sub-shepherds. The good news of Jesus is not the reign of sub-shepherds. God does not offer us a new temple or law or sacrifices or political order. God offers us his son, Jesus, our good shepherd. God says, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." The psalmist says, "He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice." Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are his flock. One shepherd, one flock. And Jesus will gather us together. We can participate. We can be the flock, but he is the shepherd. Know his voice. Hear him. Follow him. We have to stop looking for another answer, another leader, another ideology that will save us. Jesus is telling us that that's a dead end. As long as we're seeking something more than Jesus, all we'll find is hired hands. Gurus and preachers and politicians and TED talkers and activists and CEOs. People whose interests are served by leading us now, but who have no intention of laying their lives down for the flock. Jesus lays his life down for the flock. Jesus is the voice we can trust. Jesus is the pillar of cloud and of fire that Israel followed in the desert. He's the water from the rock and the manna from heaven. He's the answer. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So let's not get distracted by arguments over sub-shepherds, arguments over Paul or Apollos or Cephas, human leaders through whom we've heard the word of God and come to believe. All of our true leaders point us to Jesus, the good shepherd. Listen to him. Trust him. Follow him. We can walk without fear because he's guiding us. The Lord will fight our battles. The good shepherd has already triumphed over the wolves of the world. We don't have to accomplish anything on our own. Wait on the Lord, hearken to his voice, and watch as he accomplishes it.